All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, United States Army CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969. We want to welcome you to our program today. We've got a really special one. We're going to be talking with the producers and directors of two documentaries that really are important to all of you out there, especially our veteran listening audience. And so we're going to get to those pretty quickly. Number one is, it's the first one is going to be a Wounded Heroes documentary. And this is all about alternative treatments for post-traumatic stress. You've really got to pay attention to this one because there's all kinds of treatments out there that are not drug involved at all, which is really important to all of our people out there that are being treated for post-traumatic stress. And the second one is kind of an ongoing story. It's called The People versus Agent Orange. And The People versus Agent Orange talks about, as we are all familiar with, the problems of herbicides in Vietnam and the Agent Orange there. But it's been going on for decades now. And so these two people are have put together a documentary talking about the history of Agent Orange and where it is still being sprayed even today as we talk. So we're going to get into that almost immediately. But first, I got to remember to thank our sponsors, because without them, we wouldn't be on the air at all. So first of all, I want to make sure that this part of the program is brought to you by Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims. So call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. And the National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, they are the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website, nvbdc.org. And the Eisenhower Center, which is kind of appropriate because their After Impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes with their treatment of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries. For more information for them, you can go to eisenhower.com. As I mentioned, for more information. So we're going to go right into our first interview, and this is with Michael Geyer. Michael is the producer, director, writer, everything pretty much, of the Wounded Heroes documentary, and here it is right now. We're back here on Veterans Radio today, and I'm really excited for our guest is Michael Geyer. And Michael is the director of a brand new documentary that just came out last week for Wounded Heroes documentary, and it's about alternative treatments for post-traumatic stress. And as you know, here on Veterans Radio for the last 17 years, we have been talking about post-traumatic stress. We have dropped the D years ago, because we feel that it is not a disorder. It's something that just happens to people that are come under stress on a fairly regular basis. And this new documentary, which I had the privilege of watching last week before it was dropped, just opened up so many windows for me. So I want to get right into this interview now. And so introducing you to Michael Geyer. Michael, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you again very much. The idea of this film, where did this whole idea come from?
Well, I was working on a different film project. It was going to be a film called Wounded Heroes for theatrical release, hiring actors and everything else. And it had a storyline of post-traumatic stress. And so I was interviewing veterans and military brass. And I came across a guy in San Diego named Carl. He was battling post-traumatic stress. He was a medic. And he was on 16 different prescription medications, down from 18. And that was just shocking to me, how somebody could be on that many prescriptions. And the worst part was, he said it wasn't really helping. It was just a Band-Aid. And it was just pushing the symptoms down and helping a little bit in that sense, but it wasn't solving the actual problem of post-traumatic stress. So that set me on the journey of trying to find real treatments and programs that would do more than just push some symptoms down, that it would actually give them their lives back and help get them off the drugs. And that's what the documentary is about.
Did you serve in the military yourself?
I did not. My father did. He was a Marine, and I never served. But of course, I've always appreciated, respected our military, and of course, our first responders who also serve us. And they're also considered as you know, the heroes in the film that can benefit from post-traumatic stress and all the treatments and programs that we feature in the film regarding that. But no, I never served myself.
Well, that's not the issue here. I was just kind of curious about that because you had, you seem to have such a compassion and empathy for the veterans that you talk to throughout this documentary. And that's why I asked that particular question. The whole idea of post-traumatic stress is not, military veterans don't own that.
Right.
Everybody, you know, everybody at some point in their life goes through some really traumatic, stressful situation, and some people can deal with it, and some people have a little bit more difficulty.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what's funny, I guess ignorant, in my case, when I started this project, I thought it was just military that dealt with post-traumatic stress. I didn't realize that any of us can get post-traumatic stress, and many people do. It's a difficult or a car accident, you know, can be very traumatic. There's just a lot of different things that can happen that can bring post-traumatic stress about in a person's life. But because our veterans and our first responders and our active duty military are experiencing such traumatic events on a regular basis, that's why so many of them do end up battling post-traumatic stress.
Well, I think the statistic luckily has gone down a little bit, but it's still 17 to 20 veterans are committing suicide on a daily basis. The veteran community has been doing an excellent job of trying to reach out to everybody. I mean, we've got all these buddy to buddy, we've got these, you know, checks on our friends and so on and so forth. But I think that I feel that your documentary is really going to hammer home this issue with not only the military, but also with the civilian audience. And I encourage everybody to watch this Wounded Heroes documentary. There's just so many options here. I have many friends who have gone through much of the treatments that you mentioned in the documentary, mostly unfortunately with the prescription ones, which you luckily don't go into. All the other ones are really kind of cool alternatives to that. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who was sent off to a VA facility in Chicago for, you know, 6 weeks inpatient care. And he came out of there and he just says, I'm in a constant fog every day. And feels lost. In fact, I just read an article this morning about a general that posted an article about him suffering from post-traumatic stress and bipolar and all the medications that he was on. And I don't think that there are so many people out there that figure if you're having suffering from post-traumatic stress that you just need to get over it. And it's not something that you can just turn a switch on. You know,
And as you said, because people are in a fog and, you know, having issues because of the medications, many people won't go and get help because they know they're probably going to be offered prescriptions and they don't want to be drugged and foggy and zombified, as some of the veterans have explained, like their friends have been. I had a guy he's not a friend of mine, but he's from Saddles and Service, Mike, who runs Saddles and Service, the horse therapy we talked about in the film. Mm-hmm. He mentioned last week that when he, after serving 25 years in the military, when he went in to talk to the doctors about his post-traumatic stress, they wanted to give him a handful of prescriptions. And he literally told them, I'm sorry, not interested in that. I've seen what those medications do to my friends who are battling post-traumatic stress, and I'm not going to go that route. And so he ended up, you know, he said, you need to let me know what else you have to offer because I'm not going with the drugs. And unfortunately, too often they just hand out the drugs, and they, many times for many people, it makes things worse.
Well, I don't want to, you know, degrade the VA entirely here because you know, they're doing so many things nowadays that they didn't do 20, 30 years ago. Many of these treatments that you mentioned in the documentary are available through your local VA, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I know it is through ours here in Ann Arbor. But you mentioned the horse therapy, which I have talked to a number of veterans who have gone through that, and they said it's so uplifting that the horse seems to know, whatever reason, the horse knows that you're having difficulty, and many times the horse is also having difficulty for whatever reason, and the veteran and the horse will connect.
Yeah, and they literally heal each other. And I know Saddles and Service, at least, they use rescue horses. And because they've needed to be rescued, you know, they've had their own trauma in their life. And yeah, as you said, somehow their horses are able to feel what the person is feeling that, you know, is standing in front of them. And the horse kind of picks the person they want to work with. Because, you know, the veteran isn't just handed, and Saddles of Service, they also, again, bring in first responders, but they don't just say, you get this horse. The horse and the person kind of decide who's going to work together because they both know what each other needs, and the horse more than the person does, and the horse picks you, and next thing you know, you both are working together and having a great time together and healing each other.
I thought that was really a great way to start the documentary. We're talking here with Michael Geyer. He's the director, producer, writer, everything on the documentary Wounded Heroes, which was dropped last week, and it's available on many different platforms. That I encourage our listeners to go out and watch this. It was such a learning experience to know that these other options are available. And I did want to get into a few of those. I know you traveled across the country. How long did it take you to film this whole documentary?
Well, the whole process from the very beginning to the end was about 3 years. And so the first part was just doing the research and looking for and finding the treatments or programs that we wanted to feature in the film. And then the next part was going out and filming everybody. And then the last part was the edit, which is, you know, that was a 9-month, 10-month process all by itself, plus then adding music and sound design and all the post-production just is very time consuming.
Yes, I know. Hopefully we're going to, when I edit up this interview, it's going to sound like just smooth all the way along the lines. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of these optional therapies and treatments that you've discovered, at least discovered for me, as far as I was concerned, and because I had not been familiar with them. I guess, which one of these did you find most interesting to you?
Well, I think the ones or two, and that would be ART, Accelerated Resolution Therapy, and RTM, Reconsolidation of Traumatic Memories. Those are both interesting to me because somebody can walk in, have a memory that when they think about it or talk about it is incredibly traumatic for them. They experience the post-traumatic stress feelings and the emotion, and they can feel the heat from the explosion. I mean, their whole body just feels the trauma all over again, just talking about it. And yet what happens is when they walk in for either of those two treatments, they can still, by the time of this first session is over, and there's usually 3 to 6 sessions in that situation. But after the first session, they've already been able to go in. And what they do is they sever the emotion from the memory. So they're able to talk about the experience, the traumatic experience, but they no longer have the emotion connected with it. And so it's very freeing, and with the emotion now disconnected from it, it's as a neurological intervention, they are freed up and the post-traumatic symptoms are no longer part of that memory, which is really fascinating to me. And I kept asking the doctors and even the veterans, you know, it just sounds, it's hard to believe it actually works, you know, because it's like you walk in, you walk through the protocol, and then all of a sudden you walk out going, okay, I can talk about it. No big deal. No emotion attached to it anymore. Because it somehow severs it. And I still find that very fascinating. But it was life-changing for, I think I interviewed 6 different veterans. Only 5 made it into the film, but 6 of them, and they all said it was life-changing. After trying everything, after being suicidal, after having no hope, thinking they were going to have to live a miserable life for the rest of their life, they found something, ART or RTM, that ended up changing their lives, giving them their lives back, and getting post-traumatic stress behind them. And that was just fabulous. And it can be done through Zoom. So it can be in the privacy of your own home. You can connect with a professional and get help without having to tell your boss or your commander or anybody else that you're battling post-traumatic stress. It's very private, and yet it does it's amazing transformation in the person's life.
I know. We were just mentioning the idea of editing film and audio and so on. And it sounds like one of these, when I was watching, I was going, oh, this is just like editing film. You just kind of put a different ending in, or the ending stops just before the traumatic event actually occurs.
Exactly. And that's really beneficial. And the other great thing, which I don't think I clarified, was that you don't even have to talk about the event with these treatments. And that's really important because talking about it can be very traumatic. And so with both of these, ART and RTM, you can go in and you create a safe beginning and you create a safe ending after the event. And then you don't have to even talk about the event, but you walk through the protocol that the professional leads you through. And then by the end, you've got the emotion that's been, as I said, severed. And so, yeah, which I think it's just really important that you don't have to face it or talk about it again. And yet you still can be healed.
I know that many veteran friends of mine have talked about you know, the group therapy, and I can't remember what the terminology is for it, you know, where they had to tell their story over and over and over again.
Oh, prolonged exposure therapy.
Right. Thank you. And I said, why? I said, you know, that's what you're trying to get rid of, is that story. You're trying to, you know, get it out of your head somehow, so that every time you think about it, you don't go into a, you know, a depression or, you know, anger or whatever else your reaction is going to be to that. This just sounds so much more individualized, of course, and it is allowing you to work on a way of eliminating that trigger event that occurred so many years ago.
Yeah, and without having to talk about it. And I guess the prolonged exposure therapy, the reason they do it is they're hoping that the more you talk about it, the more it'll be, the emotion will be less and less, because it's like, oh, I've talked about it so much, it's no big deal anymore. But unfortunately, most people drop out of that program, and some have even committed suicide because they've been forced to face that trauma over and over again and they couldn't take it. But it has been successful for very few people. But because, in my opinion, the results are so low, why would you want to continue something like that? So I was excited to find something like RTM and ART that allow you to get the help without even having to talk about the trauma. That's huge for those who have dropped out of prolonged exposure therapy. They have an option to get the help without having to face it.
Well, that is true. And you have so many different things that are available to veterans out there to help them work their way through post-traumatic stress. One of them I was kind of interested in, although it made me a little nervous, was is it stellate ganglion block?
Yeah.
This is the only invasive one, I thought.
Yeah, it is. And you know, and honestly, people ask, you know, why did you include it? And it's because stellate ganglion block is a shot in the neck, but as traumatic as that may sound, it's not. It's a 10 to 15 minute procedure. And what they're doing is they're injecting this anesthetic, and it's the same anesthetic they use on pregnant women when they're giving birth. So obviously it's, you know, it's not a bad medication because they're giving it to women who are having babies, you know, but it's a shot in the neck and it numbs the nerves there. What happens with people, some people, and I saw a guy when we were filming out in Chicago, that particular segment, he was just in a really bad place before the shot. And I was afraid to get too close to him because he kind of scared me. The look in his eyes, he looked kind of like a wild animal. And I don't mean that to be rude. It's just, that was my impression. His eyes and what was happening behind his eyes just looked like a scary, wild person that I didn't know if he was going to, what he was going to do at any moment. And I talked to his wife and she said, no, there's no way you're going to be able to film him. You know, he's not going to talk right now. And so I just thought he was not going to, you know, be filmed at all. But after the shot, I saw him back in the recovery room and I saw a completely different person. He was relaxed. He was calm. He looked like a normal human being, you know, without any of that craziness behind the eyes. And his wife said the first thing he said after the procedure was that he wanted to go shopping, and he hadn't been out in years to do any shopping or anything else. He now couldn't wait to get out and go shopping, which is kind of funny. But
yeah, the first thing you think of. But
it's, yeah, exactly. You know, but for some reason. But yeah, so it was interesting to me that stellate ganglion block, I think what it does is it numbs up the nerves. And some people are just so revved up with their fight or flight. Mm-hmm. We all have that there to protect us so that we can, something dangerous shows up, we can take off and protect ourselves. But some people are so revved up that they can't get down to where they're just relaxed like the rest of us can be after the danger is gone. They're still revved up. And so what it does is it reboots the sympathetic nervous system and it numbs it. And then over the next 5-6 hours, as the numbing comes down, it has rebooted that whole fight or flight system so that they can now take a breath, relax. And they're finally gotten off that heavy duty roller coaster where they can just lay in a nice peaceful meadow and be like the rest of us after the danger's over. And that's, stellate ganglion block is really great. It's not a cure, but it's great to get you off the ledge and off that high energy so that you can finally get to a place where you're relaxed enough that you can finally get help that you need, whether it's going to a week-long program or ART or RTM or even the horse therapy. Any of those things are great follow-up after stellate ganglion block so that you can get it completely behind you.
Well, I'm so amazed by this documentary. Michael Geyer in the documentary is it's all about wounded heroes and all of the options that are out there. I don't think there's anything that you've left off of there. And your website is just full of so many resources I encourage anybody in our listening audience to just go check it out. The website itself is woundedheroesdocumentary.com. Female veteran resources. You had a link to many of those. And I think that we've kind of left women out of the post-traumatic stress story a little bit too much than we should.
Yeah. And definitely the resources page has all kinds, as you said, great information for everybody, including marriage. I think I had some resources there for couples. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just the person battling post-traumatic stress, it's their loved ones. You know, they are also living a very traumatic life at many times, you know, whether it's the person can't sleep at night, waking up from night terrors, whether it's their mood swings, their anger that just, you know, pops out at a moment's notice. It's just the whole family is also battling with the person who's got post-traumatic stress. And so the film is, you know, a relief for everybody. And not every person battling post-traumatic stress will watch the film. They may not be in a place where they can sit down and watch it. So a family member can watch it. One, learn what they're going through, understand them better. I had a veteran say he couldn't wait to show the film to his wife because the film will explain to her what he hasn't been able to. And I think that's important. And then, you know, together they can find out what solution is going to be best to help the person get past the post-traumatic stress, and they all get their lives back. What did you think of the guy in the film who was a Vietnam veteran, talked about coming back and not telling anybody he had served?
I know so many people that did that. And if people could see our Zoom call right now, I'd be raising my hand. I didn't tell anybody about it. I don't know, 20 years.
Wow.
Something like that. Well, I mean, we've touched on this on other programs here on Veterans Radio where, you know, people had this image of what a, you know, Vietnam veteran was, you know, the Sylvester mm-hmm. Stallone type of thing. And, you know, not picking on him, he's just an actor, but the movies of Rambo and so forth. And I had the privilege of talking with Tim O'Brien last couple of weeks ago for an interview of the things they carried. And he is talking about, he just wanted to get rid of everything when he got home. And he said, but he couldn't. And I think that's one of the issues that so many veterans had. Some of them were able to, you know, get rid of the military garb and inch their way back into civilian life. But there were so many of us that it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took me actually going to a Vietnam Veterans of America meeting and looking around the room and going, Jesus, we all look alike.
Oh, interesting.
And that, you know, you're finally able to open up and, you know, tell a little bit about their stories. One of the things we're doing here locally is we've started something that we call There I Was. It's just a way of people telling their stories, war stories, and because they always start that way. And we started off with two or three people doing this. And then we ended up with about 30 or 40 people showing up wanting to do it. And then some of them started bringing family people, you know, their wives or their kids. And after one of them, one of the daughters came up to me and she says, I never knew my dad did any of that.
Interesting.
Let's talk about a couple of what you feel that were the most, your favorite success stories, I guess.
Let's see. Gosh.
I know you're fortunate. You had so many really good success stories in the documentary, but let's concentrate on.
Well, it was, you know, that was one of the things that was really exciting for me, hearing their stories before what they experienced, you know, overseas, and then what they went through with post-traumatic stress, and then hearing how and what worked for them, and then now what their life is like now. I mean, the film is just one success story after the other, which the whole point was to let people know who are battling post-traumatic stress, they too can have their lives back. And these are all people, many of them who said, you know, I had no hope. Like Sherry, she was in San Diego and RTM, Reconsolidation of Traumatic Memories, really worked for her. And she said she had tried everything, but nothing was working. And she had given up and she was hopeless, literally, and suicidal. And when she found out about RTM, she wasn't excited about it because she said what was happening was you want your life back. And she would get excited about something, try it. And then when it didn't work, she said it was devastating to her for months, where she hit this really low depressive, you know, what's the point of trying? Every time I try, it's another failure. And just the disappointment from it not working was devastating. That's it on her.
Yes.
And then, so she wasn't excited about RTM when she first heard about it. And it took her over 9 months before she finally got around to trying it, only because she had so many friends and other veterans who were finding success. She was like, well, they're finding success. She goes, I guess I'll go in and I'll give it a try. But she walked in basically saying, it's not going to work because nothing works, because she was afraid to get excited about it because she didn't want to be disappointed. So she walked in very negative. It changed her life. And in tears, she's the one who's crying, you know, in the film when she says, this saved my life. And she's bawling as she's saying that. And, you know, I'm interviewing her on camera, and I was doing my best to keep it together. You know, my eyes are watering up, you know, seeing her life be so transformed when she thought she was never, ever going to have her life back. That was powerful.
It was. It's a very powerful scene, too. And I think because they're happy tears. And, you know,
exactly.
And that somebody's, you know, God, the whole idea is some of these folks that have suffered for so long. And it's hard to relate to them, but you can see the transformation of so many of the patients in your documentary who have changed. I was looking at an interview that you did with Psychology Today about Antonio Zavala.
Oh yes, yes.
This is one I want you to talk about a little bit.
Well, Antonio, so I met him at a camp in Maryland. Warfighter Advance. And he and Mike were a couple of the main veterans that I interviewed from that particular place. And Antonio, he goes by Tony, so I'll just call him Tony, but he was in a very bad place on a lot of different prescriptions. And he said he couldn't even leave his house to check his mail. He said I was just a piece of furniture. I couldn't move. I was just in my house. He was hopeless. And same thing, he eventually found hope, got the medications out of his life, and he has his life completely back. But what I love about Tony, and I don't even think Psychology Today talks about it, is that he had a goal someday of being medication free and moving his family to Spain. And I just found out that 6 months ago, not only he's been off the medications for a few years now, but just 6 months ago or so, he moved his family to Spain. So he's completely accomplished his biggest goals while he was battling post-traumatic stress: get off the drugs, move my family to Spain. Well, he's done them both. He's living a fulfilling life, a great life. And it's just exciting to see.
It is. That's living the dream.
Yeah. He's living his dream. Exactly.
I think that's great. That's great. I have one more, and I'll let you go. And that was, again, I'm quoting from the article from Psychology Today. It says that you interviewed Myrna Molinari.
Yes.
She's a counselor, right?
Yes.
And she talks about one of her patients. I think this is the one that, is this the RTM or the ART?
That's ART.
Okay. Could you tell about that story just briefly?
That's my other favorite story. And it's about a Vietnam veteran who had not been doing well since Vietnam, 40 plus years. And he had so many DUIs, the judge said, you know what, you're going to jail or you're going to go and get some help. And so he basically was forced to go and see Myrna. And he walked in with an attitude and said, look here, little missy, you know, you may think, you know, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, but it's not going to work. I drink. I'm not going to stop drinking. It's the only thing that gives me some relief. And it's the only thing that when I get drunk, so drunk that I pass out, I can get some sleep, you know. And so he was like, I've got to sleep, so I'm going to drink. So they got to talking, and his traumatic event was he was just seconds too late and watched his best friend get shot and killed right in front of him. And had he been there a few seconds earlier, he would have been able to save his friend. So he took out the enemy, but it was still too late. And he was so devastated. He told everybody, I'm not leaving him in the jungle. And he put him over his shoulder and walked him out. I guess it was like 3 days over his shoulder. And they're like, you got to put him down. They're like, he's like, I'm not. I'm taking him home. And Myrna looked at him and said, you've been carrying him for 40 years. And she said, can we, you know, and then she told him what she was going to be doing. And he goes, sure, whatever. Well, he walked through the protocol with her. And she did what she does. And by the end of it, you know, he felt completely different. He said, you've given me my friend back. And then she followed up with him a few days later, and he said he had slept the entire night through relaxed ever since because of that treatment. And he hadn't slept through the night without alcohol for 40 years. So that's life-changing for a person to finally get a full night's rest and be relaxed. And eventually, with more sessions, he did get his life back and pushed out of stress behind him, and the DUI stopped. So that's all an amazing testimonial.
It is. Well, Michael, exactly. I'd strongly encourage, as I mentioned, people to watch your documentary. We've been talking with Michael Geyer. Here he is, a producer, the director, the grip, everything else that you could use inside the film Warrior Heroes. And I encourage you to go get this thing. Get it, watch it, share it with as many people as you can. Let's give our audience your website and where they can get more information.
Yeah, the website is woundedheroesdocumentary.com. And there's links on the website, not just the trailer, there's film excerpts, and there's links to all of the platforms where the film is available, which is Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Movies, Vudu, and Vimeo On Demand.
Michael, I want to thank you so very much for your time today on Veterans Radio. And I'm excited to watch the documentary again and get all my friends to watch it too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the interview.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private First Class Emery Bennett, although wounded, continued to defend his position. Details after this. At approximately 2 a.m., two enemy battalions swarmed up the ridgeline in a ferocious banzai charge in an attempt to dislodge Bennett's company from its defensive positions. Meeting the challenge, the defenders delivered destructive retaliation, but the enemy pressed the assault with fanatical determination, and the perimeter was imperiled. Fully aware of the odds against him, Bennett unhesitatingly left his foxhole, moved through withering fire, stood within full view of the enemy, and employing his automatic rifle, poured crippling fire into the ranks of the onrushing assailants, inflicting numerous casualties. Although wounded, Bennett gallantly maintained his one-man defense, and the attack was momentarily halted. During this lull in battle, the company regrouped for a counterattack, but the numerically superior foe soon infiltrated the position. Upon orders to move back, Bennett voluntarily remained to provide covering fire for the withdrawing elements, and defying the enemy, continued to sweep the charging foe with devastating fire until mortally wounded. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org. Or call 810-767-VETS.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. Even small actions can make a world of difference. If you know a veteran in crisis, please call the Veterans Crisis Line, 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and I want to make sure that this portion of Veterans Radio is brought to you by VetBiz Central. That's Veterans Helping Veterans, and the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor. I want to jump into our next documentary right away, and I appreciate the patience of our guests waiting for the first interview to be completed. But that one was about post-traumatic stress. This is another thing that we were all exposed to, all of you Vietnam veterans especially, out there we're exposed to, and that's Agent Orange. And I've got on the line right now, we've got the producers, directors, editors, and everything else on there, on the line. So when they turn their mics on, I'm sure we'll be all set to go. So we have got Alan Adelson and Kate Taverna. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
Happy to be here, Dan.
Happy to meet you.
It's a pleasure meeting both of you. The headline that I was reading was that the Agent Orange catastrophe did not end with the Vietnam War. Today, the world over, a primary chemical of the toxic defoliant controlling weeds is everywhere. And when I saw this documentary email that was sent to me, I said, I have to talk to you. I didn't realize that this stuff was still going on. How did you get involved with this?
Well, it's been going on for 10 years, and it takes a good while just to get a handle on the story, much less to be able to render it for others. It started actually with having the deformed children that result from their parents' or grandparents' exposure to Agent Orange brought to my attention. And they are the saddest human creatures on earth. Their heads are blown up from water on their brains. Their limbs are withered into useless stumps and stick-like limbs that won't carry or hold anything. And the weirdest thing, Dale, is that you'll see the very same kinds of afflictions in Vietnam today as we see among the offspring of U.S. veterans. And it has been a constant bone of contention, no pun intended, whether or not the U.S. government would look after the offspring of our vets. And to this day, they pretty much do not. There's a woman featured in the film. Her name is Heather Bowser. She founded the Children of Vietnam Veterans Health Alliance. She herself was born with only one leg, with stubs of fingers. She's an amazingly creative and courageous woman who, even during her adolescent years, apparently used to joke that she didn't need 10 fingers and she didn't see why anybody else would, that her small deformed hands would be perfectly capable of what she needs to do in life. And indeed, she's into all kinds of arts and crafts and weaving and whatever, but the children are not looked after. And we feature a U.S. Air Force scientist in the film, Dr. James Clary, who blew the whistle from the start that Agent Orange was causing health problems and defects. He wrote to then Senate Majority Leader Thomas Daschle. And it took decades before the litigation that resulted to determine who was responsible would be completed. It was the largest class action in history at the time. $197 million were awarded to U.S. veterans, but out of 105 claims, only 52,000 were honored, and those people received an average cash payment of $3,500, which would not sustain a person through soft tissue cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, those terrible results of exposure to Agent Orange. So even today, and when you talk about the brave heroes who remain unrecognized and untaken care of. There are tens of thousands of Agent Orange veterans from the U.S. side who remain uncared for. Every day I get emails, Google is scooping them off, of U.S. veterans who are dying from, as it's typically put, complications due to exposure to Agent Orange.
I can relate to that, because there's I think there's 11 presumptive disabilities right now with the VA, and I just added another one for, it's called primary biliary cholangitis. It's a liver problem with the ductwork in your liver, and they said yes, that's caused by herbicides, but you don't have your symptoms aren't bad enough yet. I said, okay, fine. But the idea of that this has been going on for more than 50 years, and in watching your documentary, which was wrenching to watch. It was so powerful, I thought. The story of the people of Vietnam, when you think about, I was going to show a picture. If we were on TV, I have a picture of one of my aircraft all rigged out to spray Agent Orange while I was there. And the whole thing of, you know, if we think about how much Agent Orange was sprayed in Vietnam, and I can't remember the millions and millions of tonnage.
20
of it,
million gallons.
That's all right. Well, that's still there. It doesn't go away. You know, it went into the water system. It went into their, you know, into their food. It went into their animals. It went into everything. And you're the woman, Tranto Nga.
Yeah.
My Vietnam has faded over the years.
Not bad.
But tell us about this woman. I thought she was really obviously one of the heroes of your documentary.
Well, she was the first woman, the first person we found that we could follow, because she made this lawsuit in France in 2014. That's how long ago, that's how long we were following her.
Yeah.
So that lawsuit kept getting postponed. I mean, there were procedural hearings and three judges, and then the judges changed, and she basically sued 26 American chemical companies for poisoning her, her children, and her grandchildren. They all have something wrong with them. And her first daughter, you saw in the film, died at 18 months of age from complications of her mother's exposure. But Tran had never put that together for 40 years and blamed herself. So the lawsuit is going to be decided on May 10th of this year. So it'll be very interesting to see that outside of the context of the United States, how would something like this work against this powerful
corporate? Right, yeah, the Dow Chemicals of the world, and so forth. We're talking with Kate Taverna and Alan Edelson. Their documentary is The People versus Agent Orange. And there's so much I would really like to talk about, and I know we're not going to have enough time, but in addition to the Agent Orange in Vietnam, the thing that surprised me the most was the herbicides that were in Oregon.
Yes.
Could you address that? That's another heroine of your documentary, is a woman from Oregon who pointed this whole thing out to you.
And we didn't find her until 2017. So it was like the story, we kept following the story. And when that happened, that was news breaking for us as well. We had no idea that that had happened.
It's kind of like following Agent Orange itself, Dale, because after the U.S. military had ceased the use of Agent Orange in Vietnam because it was coming out that it was contaminated with dioxin and was making our troops sick and making the Vietnamese sick, and there were seeing deformed children, and lo and behold, a forestry expert in Oregon says, wow, look at that. They've got hundreds and hundreds of 55-gallon drums full of this stuff they can't use. I could bring it back to Oregon, and we could use it to spray the weeds that compete for space and water and light with our primary cash crop, which is Douglas fir. And without authorization, when he got in some trouble, got his knuckles wrapped, he started spraying experimentally the National Forest and his own private lands with Agent Orange. And it actually turned the forest industry around. And to this day, it's not still Agent Orange, although half of Agent Orange, 2,4-D, remains in hundreds and hundreds of herbicides being used today. And we see a helicopter guy, service guy, actually loading the toxic herbicides onto the helicopters to be sprayed all over these clear-cut mountainsides. And just as you say, Dale, it remains in Vietnam. It washes down into the creeks and reservoirs and people's drinking supply in the Pacific Northwest as well. And they've been battling over that for decades. And yeah, we have this heroic woman, Carol Van Strum, who has been leading the fight against the herbicides in Oregon for decades now.
I was at an Agent Orange seminar a couple of years ago, just to cover it for the radio program. And there were men and women there and children there that had mostly if it was skin problem diseases that I had never seen before. And they were pleading with this panel of experts, I think they were from the government, you know, with what are you going to do for my children or my grandchildren? Because this thing is now in my DNA and my genetic makeup, and it's just being passed down from generation to generation. I wanted to talk about a story that I just discovered, even though I saw it in your film and it just didn't click, but about these poison papers. Can you tell us about the poison papers?
Oh, well, that was an initiative of Carol Van Strum, because she'd been suing the EPA. She'd been collecting a lot of documents through her work as a kind of toxic advisor to various other lawsuits. So she had a lot of discovery papers, a lot of stuff that she'd been collecting over decades. And it finally was getting to the point where the floor of the barn she was storing them all in collapsed. And a friend of hers, a journalist from Canada, said, I think we have to put this up online. And he raised the money and came down. And you see them in the film scanning the stuff. And now that poison papers has gone to Columbia University, and it's called Toxic Docs. So that might be a little bit easier to search through to find things, because they're a little bit more organized.
Okay. It's kind of chilling, Dale, to read how inside Dow Chemical and inside Monsanto, and then among themselves and their competitors, they are talking about how dangerous and toxic their product is and what to do about it. How are we going to keep this quiet? Because if we don't, the government is going to kill our cash cow. They're either going to stop using this chemical herbicide altogether, or they're going to make it themselves their own way, and we won't be able to sell it the way we can now. And they are literally conspiring. One guy says, it would be very embarrassing if this got out. And the embarrassment he's talking about is the loss of the embarrassment of riches that they had been reaping. And even till today, with accusations about chemical herbicides like Roundup, there are serious questions that are being raised, and the defense the chemical companies is giving it does not appear to be completely open. There are many suggestions of conspiracy to hold the truth behind.
Well, this is so frustrating, because it's been going on for so long, and you know, nobody wants to, you know, jump to the forefront. I mean, this would be a great thing for somebody in Congress to say, okay, here's my cause. and let's get this taken care of finally. We can only hope that, you know, whatever administration is out there, keep looking at this. I mean, at the VA, unfortunately, there are many cases of where they just keep denying the claims, and then, of course, the veteran passes away, and that's the end of it. And, you know, some of their reports have come out, and, you know, they under the last administration, they know, okay, we've got it. Now we're going to add these additional, you know, diseases that are caused by this stuff. And then they postponed it because some obscure report by some obscure unknown scientist says, well, we're not 100% sure. Meanwhile, you know, you've had a couple of 100,000 men and women die of this stuff. And yeah, it's just outrageous. The documentary I'm talking about, folks, for our audience, I want to make sure that they get a chance to see this. It's The People versus Agent Orange. And we're talking with Alan Adelson and Kate Taverna, who wrote it, directed it, filmed it, and did everything. And thank you so very much for doing this. Now, how can our audience get to see it?
Well, they can go to the website, thepeopleversusagentorange.com. It's just a the people, VS, no period, just straight through.com. And all of the screenings we're screening it theatrically and virtually across 40 venues right now through most of March into April. And they can find a place in their state, or they can go anywhere, any one of those, press on it and buy a ticket and see it immediately on their television, computer, or however they're set up.
I wanted to mention also that people are caring so much that U.S. veterans can get to see this film, that they're making contributions and donations so that folks, veterans, or students, elderly, can click and ask for a discount. And people keep giving more and more funds to make it easier for veterans to be able to see the film. To some extent, if funds hold up, they can even ask for free tickets.
Is there a way that, I probably should do this offline, but is there a way where a veterans organization could get a hold of a copy for a limited period of time and kind of do a showing for a donation or a fee or something along those lines? I'm thinking like take it to a VFW hall and you know, project it up on their screen, because that's where the audience is.
Absolutely. If they can get together with this damn COVID curse, or a chapter of Vietnam Veterans of America or Vietnam veterans in any of the many ways that they gather, can share it online with one another, can talk about it, have open discussions on Zoom or whatever. It's happening already, Dale, and we are so glad to be able to stimulate discussion and get this whole problem before the public's eye.
Well, I can't tell you enough how grateful I am to you and Kate for putting this whole thing together. I mean, it's time. It's time before we're gone, and that we can figure out what in the hell happened and how can we stop it from continuing. And, you know, maybe the next tragedy that, you know, some company comes up with and says, oh, here's a product for you guys to use. It's been tested. Trust us. And we know that we can't trust these organizations that are out there.
What's interesting right now is the film is going to be at The Hague at a festival called Movies That Matter. And while that's happening, there's going to be a conference with us and with one of our characters, Trantonia, and people from the International Criminal Court to decide whether ecocide can be considered one of the crimes, the fifth crime that could be taken up along with crimes against humanity, crimes of war, terrorism, all that, in that International Criminal Court at The Hague.
Well, again, thank you for what you are doing and what you have done in the past, again, to keep this out in front of the public and in front of the politicians across the globe, so that we can make sure that hopefully we can solve this problem at some point in the future. Thank you very much for your patience today, and thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. And I will be in touch with you to see about how we can schedule some showings of this film out here in the at least the mid-Michigan area.
That would be wonderful, Dale. It's a privilege to be with you.
Thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thanks for finding us. We enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks. That's the program for today. We had two important documentaries. Number one, we just finished up our interview with the producers of The People vs. Agent Orange, and you can find more information on that at their website, thepeopleversusagentorange.com, all one word, no periods or anything in it. There's a lot of great information on it on that website for you to find out about Agent Orange. The other one, of course, was the American Heroes, and we want you to make sure that you go to that website as well, to the Wounded Heroes documentary .org, to find out more information about that particular documentary, and that's about alternative post-traumatic stress treatments. So I think today was a really informative program for all of you. It was for me. I'm excited that we're able to bring this information to you. Next week on Veterans Radio is going to be our benefits program, kind of apropos, it seems. And we will be having our local experts on to answer any questions that you might have regarding the VA health care program or the VA disability program. So get that information into us. You can send it to me. That's dale@veteransradio.net. And we will make every attempt to be able to answer all of your questions in the future. In the meantime, if you have any stories that you want to bring to Veterans Radio, again, contact us. Go to our website. We've got almost 15 years worth of programs on there. That's veteransradio.net. And this program will be up in the next hour or so. So thank you very much for listening. Until next week, you are dismissed.